On Daf Kuf Lamed Dalid, on the top of the Amud, second line down, quoting the Mishnah after the two dots, Lo Shachak Me Erev Shabbos, and we're talking about cumin, which has a medicinal value after the Mila, and he has to crush the cumin on Erev Shabbos. The Mishnah says if he didn't do so, then he can chew it with his teeth and apply it. And also, if a person did not vigorously mix wine and oil on Erev Shabbos, then each of these ingredients should be placed in a bowl by itself. And now we're up to Tana Rabbanan. Let me just move this thing here so we'll be able to see. Okay. Dvarim shein osim lemila b'shabbos osin la b'yontif. In other words, those things that require a shinui, that you do it in an unusual way for the sake of mila b'shabbos, you can do it in the normal way for the sake of mila on yontif. Kiderech sh'osim b'chol. And therefore, shochakim la kamon v'tarfin la yayin v'shemen. You'd be allowed to crush the cumin on Shabbos itself for the benefit of the Mila, and you can actually mix the wine and the oil. And this statement of the Braisa reflects what we saw about Abaye, who holds that according to Rabbah in Masechet Pesachim, that even though you're not allowed to bake something from Yontif for the purpose of Chol, you don't get Malkus, and that's based on a principle of Hoil, which is called Hoil Umikloi Orchim, that maybe guests will come and they'll want to eat the bread. So therefore, Lishchok Kamon, in this case of crushing the cumin, Litzorach Hamila, that doesn't have an Isur Torah, because it is Royal Kedera. You could put the crushed cumin into a pot and add it as a spice. So the Gemara says, "Omalei Abayler of Yosef Maishna Kamon B'Yontif D'Chazi L'Kedera." Why is it that on Yontif you're allowed to crush the cumin? And that's because it is Roy L'Kedera. Knows you might need it for your pot. And tchina on yontif, if it's grinding for the sake of ochel nefesh, that's mutter. And as we said before, even in event that you're not planning to make this kedera, but mikloy orchim, maybe orchim will come, and you'll have to make up this cooked pot to feed them, and you'll add cumin. Now, from that perspective, we could also be matir mixing yayin and shemen on Shabbos, even though he's doing it for the purpose of mila, and he could have done it on Erev Shabbos, yayin v'shemen chazinami, even a mixture of wine and oil is something that you might benefit from b'Shabbos l'chola, for a chola she'en bo sakon. Now, Abaye is asking Akasha from Shchikas Kamon B'Yontif, and we said that that's allowed on Yontif for the purpose of Mila. And in the case of Trefas Yayin V'Shemen on Shabbos, even for the sake of Mila, it's prohibited. And this, the Kasha of Abaye is on the Braisa. In other words, in the case of Yontif, was saying that they were matir shchikas a kamon on yontif for the purpose of mila, even though he could have done it on erev yontif, and you're going to tell me it's because of chazi l'kedera that when you grind up the cumin, you could use it as tavlin, as a spice for your pot, and therefore that tchina is mutar on yontif. Then, if that be the case, Abai is asking, couldn't we be matir litrof yayin v'shemen v'shabbos tzorch mila, even though he could have done this on Erev Shabbos, because Yayin v'shemen chazi nami b'shabbos l'chol shem bo sakana. And you're allowed to vigorously mix wine and oil, and we should allow it on Shabbos, since although he's doing it for the sake of Mila, but he could use it for a Chol Hashem Bo Sakana. Again, if we're talking about a Chol Hashem Bo Yesh Bo Sakana, then any Malach is Mutta, but Abai is asking that we find in the case of crushing cumin, which is a Malach Doraisa of Tochen, and yet you're matered on Yontif because of Chazi L'Kedera, why not be matir even on Shabbos, vigorously mixing wine and oil, again without a shinui? And again, we'll apply this principle of chazi, that it might be permitted for a sick person. And if, let's say, you weren't able to mix this before Shabbos maybe, but now you need it for a chola. So we have a case of chazi. And if chazi was enough to be matir kamon on yontif in terms of tchina, melechas tchina, then why not allow trefas yayin v'shemen to mix vigorously yayin v'shemen on Shabbos, also based on the svara of chazi? And what is chazi? Chazi here means lechol hashem bo sakon. The sanya, we have a brisa that records machlokas tanoim ein torfin yayin v'shemen L'chola b'Shabbos. According to Tanakama, we will not permit mixing vigorously wine and oil for a chola. But Omer Rab Shimon Alos from Rabbi Meir, Aftar fin yayin v'shemen. Amongst the various things that we're going to permit for the purpose of therapy for a chola, one of them is tarfin yayin v'shemen. Omer Rab Shimon ben Alos, Pam achas chosh Rabbi Meir b'meyov. On one occasion, Rabbi Meir had stomach problems, and it was Shabbos. Ubikashnu litroflo yayin v'shemen, and we wanted to mix wine and oil vigorously in order to give him therapy. V'lohi nichanu, and they wouldn't allow us. So amarnu lo, and we turned to him and we said, Dvarecha, if you say that you're allowed to be toref lechola, is yibotlu bechayecha. You know, you're a chola, and you're telling us that we're not allowed, you know, lohi nichanu. Rav Meir said, we wanted to mix the yayin shemen, and you stopped us. Why would you stop us? I mean, you yourself said that for a chola, you're allowed to do it. Omar Lonu, so Rabbi Meir defends himself and he says, Afal Pishani Omer Kach, but V'chaveri Omrim Kach. I think that I'm right, but nevertheless, my colleagues disagree with me. They think that to be Toref Yayin V'Shemen is prohibited, that's the Tanakhama of this Brisa, even for the sake of a Chola, is Miyomai Lomela Ani Libi Lavar Al Divrei Chaveri. I don't have the chutzpah, so to speak, to violate the view of my colleagues who are machmir. Anyway, you see from Rabbi Meir's answer that we could derive the following conclusion: who knew the machmir nafshe, that he himself was machmir upon himself? He took the strict highway, and he wasn't allowing anyone to be toref ba'avuro on his behalf. Av lekuli alma, shari, if it would have been for the sake of somebody else, he would be absolutely permissible and allow being toref l'tzor chola. Now we have a principle called stam mishnah kirabi meir, and if that be the case, then why does the mishnah say that in the case of yayin you have to do it yayin l'chud and shemen l'chud? Why not be matir to be torifit for the sake of Mila, and we'll apply the principle of chazi lechola? And now this is following the sheet, of course, of Rabbi Meir, based on the fact that Stam Mishnah is Rabbi Meir. So the Gemara answers, Hasam, in a case of Chol She'ein Bo Sakana, Lo Boy Leka. Notes, you don't have to actually do such a vigorous job of irbuv. You know, you don't need that. But hacha, if you're talking about a some sort of a therapy, an antiseptic, that you want to use for the mila, is boy lika. You need an irbuv, you need a mixture that's very vigorous. And that we cannot be matir and say, well, it's roy lechola. And therefore we're going to need to put the wine separately and the oil separately. So Reb Meir says to his colleague, about his colleagues, that even though I say thus and I allow it, but my colleagues prohibited it, and throughout my days I never presumed to transgress the word of my colleagues. And Abai draws the following conclusion from this brisa, that although Rabbi Meir was strict upon himself about the matter of mixing oil and wine, but for somebody else, he would have permitted it. Meaning, he has no inhibitions about permitting it. I mean, he couldn't do it against his colleagues, but for somebody else, fine. And we have halacha, we have a principle called halacha kistam mishnah. And our mishnah on the previous daf is certainly a stam mishnah, and yet it doesn't allow us to vigorously mix wine and oil. And the answer Rav Yosef gives is because, as far as a chol is concerned, you don't require vigorously beating it and blending it. But here in our mishnah about circumcised, you know, about mila, the mixture requires a vigorous beating and blending, and only if you do so, then it will be effective as a therapy. And this Reb Meir, you know, forbids. And the Gemara now asks the following question: Hachanami ni avid v'lo nelech. Now, it's the case of mila, we should prepare this mixture of oil and wine, and let's not vigorously beat it. So the Gemara is asking, the avid v'lo liloch, meaning the arbev avalo irbuv yof, at least allow us to mix it. You don't just say put it both in a bowl. At least we'll get to some madrega. Maybe we'll only get to the point where it's suitable for a chol she'ein bo sakana. It's not good enough for mila necessarily, but at least it's on the way. And since it's chazi for a chola, that should be mutter. And the Gemara answers, Hainu de Ketani, that's really what the Tana has in mind when he writes, No sein zeb if ne'atzma with zeb if ne'atzma. He means that he mixes it a little bit, but not totally, not vigorously, as we said before. All right. Now, let's just mention the Me'iri. The Gemara says that, or means to say that there is some therapeutic effect that would be gained by a minimal mixing of these ingredients in the same bowl. And Enochinami was saying now that when the Mishnah advocates no sin zebifnei atzba, for zebifnei atzba, what it really has in mind is that minimum threshold, you know, minimum threshold of mixing, which will allow you to get some therapeutic kickback here, but beyond that, we're not going to allow it. Tana Rabbanan, we learned that in Braisa, we're talking about sinun chardal, and you use a sieve, and you want to get and you put the mustard seeds, and the question is, are you allowed to do the sinun process on yontif? And would this be considered ochel nefesh? And Torah Rabbanan, it says in the Braisa, Ein misadnes achardol b'masnenes shalo. We're not going to permit a process of straining, meaning to put mustard seeds through a strainer on yontif. And the Gemara is going to tell us that this is a malacha of separating the seeds from the husks by straining it. And beyond that, ein mematkin oso begachelis. We don't sweeten it with a burning coal. So you have mustard, and it's natural state, it's not so palatable. you have a burning coal, and you bury inside a mound of mustard seeds, and the smothered coal becomes extinguished, and he's violating Meleches Mechab, and that he can't do in order to sweeten the mustards, which are naturally not so sweet, not so palatable. Okay, so that's what we have in the Brice. So the Gemara asks the Kashva Sanya. We have another Brice that says Mematkin Oso Bugacheles. They were allowed to take these mustard seeds and were allowed to sweeten them by placing them onto the coals. Lo Kasha. Khan, the Brice that allows it, Lamatik, but that's Bugachel Shel Mateches. And we're talking about something that's made out of metal. Khan, the Brice that says, Ein Mematkim, that's Gachel Shel Eitz. And the Brice that allows it in the case of Gachel Shel Matechas, even though he's going to extinguish the Gacheles when he places the Chardal on top of the Gacheles, but nevertheless, we're talking about Mateches. And Kibui Mateches is not considered Kibui, as far as Meleches Kibui is concerned. The reason for that is because Eina Nases Pechom, that Meleches Kibui is only violated when you create coals. And in the case of putting out a fire that's on a piece of metal, you don't create coals. So that's not called Kibui, as far as the Torah law is concerned. Again, as far as the Rabbanans, that's a different story. But on a Deraisa level, that is not called Kibui. And that's why the Brice allows to be mematek the mustard seeds by using a gacheles shel mateches. But in the case of a gacheles shel eitz, where you create pechom, and what you'll end up with is coals, that is a melacha d'oraisa, violation of kibui. And we cannot allow kibui for the preparation of mustard. So that in a case of a wooden coal, we have a stringency that we're not going to allow placing the mustard seeds on a gacheles shel eitz, on a wooden coal. And that's because this is extinguishing a burning coal, and we're talking about eitz, and that's prohibited. So sweetening the mustard, which results in extinguishing the burning coal, that is a doraisa. That's a violation of kibui doraisa. Now again, if you're talking about kibui doraisa, you might want to suggest that you have something that's burning, and you put out the fire, you know, you extinguish it in order to make charcoal for kindling purposes. Wood can in fact be made into charcoal, and therefore you're not allowed to use it for sweetening mustard, because metal can never become charcoal, and it could be used for sweetening the mustard. Amalei Abayla, Rav Yosef Abay raises the fine question, Maishna, why is this case of chardol that you can't sweeten it on top of a coal of wood, mibisra, how is it different from meat, agumre, which were allowed to roast on top of charcoals on yontif, even if those charcoals are made of wood, and as a result of placing the meat on top of the charcoals, you're inevitably going to extinguish the charcoal, because meat is full of blood, and the blood is certainly going to extinguish the fire. Amalei, Rav Yosef responds, Hasam lo efshar, hacha efshar. There in the case of basar gabi gecholim, there's no possibility of roasting it erev yontif, because if the basar is meant to have a tam meshubach, a good taste, then that's only if you roast it on yontif itself. But hacha efshar, in the case of chardal, you could have sweetened it on erev yontif, and therefore they're not going to be mati you anything other than a gachel shel mateches, but certainly not Egacheles shel Eitz. So the explanation now, why is it that in the case of Basar, even though he's going to cause Kibui, we're not going to prohibit it, whereas in the case of Chardo we are? And Rav Yosef explains, Omer Leh, Hasam Lo Efsha, Ach Efsha, that in the case of Basar, Gabi Gacholim, if you prepare it Mibojom, it's not going to have that same Tam L'Shvach. And we're not going to expect him, therefore, to put it on the fire on Erev Yontif. But Hocha, here in the case of Chardal, Efshar, you can do this process of being Mematek, the Chardal and Erev Yontif, at no loss. And therefore, they're not going to permit him to use a Gacheles Shel Mateches. I'm sorry. They're not going to permit him to use a Gacheles Shel Eitz, but only a Gacheles Shel Mateches. Omalei Abayi L'Rav Yosef, Ma'u L'Gabin. What's the deal with Gibu and making cheese on Yontif? Omalei, Rav Yosef says, Osur. Sabai says, Ma'ishno Milisha. We allow kneading with a K, right, on Yontif, because the Melecha Sochel Nefesh and Gibun is Domel Elisha. You know, it's no less than Lisha as far as Ochel Nefesh, preparing cheese for eating purposes. Amalei, Rav Yosef responds, Hosam, in the case of Lisha, Lo Efshar. Right? We need the Tam of the Pas to be a beautiful taste, the Tam Meshubach, and if you bake it and you prepare it and bake it on Yontif, then it has a better taste, it improves the taste. That's included under Lo Efshar and Mibojom, and therefore it's Mutter under Ochel Nefesh. But Hocha, in the case of Gvina, what do you lose by preparing your cheese Efshal Asosim Erev Yontif? So the Gemara asks the question, V'amri Nardoi Gvina Bas Yoma Ma'alya. Nardoi says that a cheese that was just made today and it's fresh is ma'alya, it's ma'ula, it's on a better level. So we should be matir gibun the same way we matir anything that's low efshar. And it's improved if you do it today on Yont. So the Gemara answers, Hochi Kamer, this is what Nardoi meant, afilu gvina bas yoma ma'alya. That even a cheese that's still moist and it was just made today, it's still considered ma'ula. But how much more so if you made the cheese before Yontif and you let it dry, then for sure it's even more tasty, it's more beneficial. Then the Mishnah says, Ein osim lo chalok lechatchil, aval korech olav smartut. That we're not allowed to, on Shabbos, make this kind of a little bandage. We call it a chalok, it's like a shirt almost. But we're allowed to wrap the organ in a cloth. Omar Abaye, Amali Aim, right, my mother, so to speak, who raised me, had something to say about this Chavisha Samila. And she told me, Hai Chaluk Diyanuka, right, this, as we called it, a shirt-like bandage that we put around the gid, around the organ, after the milah, in order that the skin shouldn't go back and cover the corona, is lefanea lesitra le'iloi. We should fold it up on the outskirts of the cloth, of this pocket-like kiss, towards the back. And why is it important that the hem, so to speak, of this bandage should be turned upward? In other words, he should fold it at the edge of the hem so that the loose threads of the material should be on the outside of the bandage, away from the flesh. Dilma, because we're afraid, lest midbik raramine, that we're afraid that perhaps some of the threads will stick to the wound. Hachutim, hametzionim, besfas ha'orig, in other words, those threads that are on the hem of the bandage might get stuck to the wound. And then when he takes off this bandage later on, he's going to be moshech the chutim hadvukim. He's going to pull with the bandage those threads that are attached, that stuck to the wound. and then the osi lidei krus shivcha. As a result, he might mutilate the genital organ, and that's obviously something that has to be avoided at all costs. So, therefore, make sure that the hem should be turned upward. And ime de abaye avda, she sewed for different babies that came for, you know, for after the mila, she sewed kista sasa lefalga. She would make herself, on behalf of those infants, a lining for half the bandage. No, she arranged a lining or a covering for half the bandage. Kis b'tocha chaluk, shemagia ad emsa chaluk. And this is the way that she guaranteed that the chutim, that those threads on the hem of the cloth will not stick to the makom mila, will not get stuck to the makom mila. So she actually made this kiss ad shemagia v'emtza chaluk, and that's how she guaranteed this. Shakis hayot tafur b'tzad apnimi shel chaluk, b'ofen shesfasa orik shel chaluk haya mustar al yidei kiss. If they didn't prepare this kind of shirt-like bandage before the mila, lise belisa de isle sifsa, we should bring a rag that has a hem to it. Belichrche le sifsa de le sasoi, tie the hem around the bottom, meaning around the head of the member, right away, very far away from the wound itself, and tie that hem around the bottom, the oyif leili loy, and double over the top end upward towards the outside, so that any threads that might be sticking out from the rag cannot stick to the wound. Further, Amar Abaye Amarli Aim, she told me that Hayinuka de lo yedia mapakte. And this has to do with the anal opening, and the opening of the anus is not nikar, it's not discernible. L'shaife mishcha, she should rub him with oil. Now this oil is going to sort of brighten up the skin. And lukmei bahadi yoma, Lahadiyoma, and somehow stand him up against the sun, and as a result, Hecha de Zig, and where the skin appears to be solul, which is in English transparent, and then he knows that the Chalal Negdo hu nekev beis ri'i. So now, in the clarity here of the after the meshicha b'shemen and the yamid b'mokum mul hashemesh, then likre b'sa'arsa shesi v'arev, he should tear the skin in a shesi means up and down, and arev means across. Birush, and by tearing it crosswise, then bisa'arsa shesi. Okay, she should use apparently sa'arta. Sa'arta is miloshon sa'ora, which is a barley grain, and a barley grain apparently has some sort of sharpness in which she can cut the R in a crisscross way. And that's the way she should do it. Av beklima tachos lo. But you might think, well, why not use a metal instrument? That should be avoided. Mishum dezorif is goreim lenefichus. It's going to cause inflammation. I guess maybe there might be some infection and germs, maybe. If you have a woman, an infant who doesn't suckle, the eno yonig is mekar de karpume. It means that his lips got cold, and therefore he doesn't have the, you know, the koach. He doesn't have the muscles that he needs in his mouth to suck. Is my takanta? What's the therapy for this? Lysu kosa gumre. They should spread out a series of coals on a utensil or on a flat surface. Vilinkite le lahadi pume. And they should hold on to him near his mouth with this, you know, flat plate of burning coals. Dechayas pume umayitz. And then his lips and his mouth will become warmed up, and then he'll suckle. My piv yischame v'yuchal linok. V'yomer bayom li aim, my mother, who raised me as a mother, right? Hayi nuka, she taught me that a baby delo minshisei, that is not breathing, and you can tell that by taking his pulse, so he's got a really low pulse. So what should you do? Linfefe benafvasa uminshese. If you want to get him to start breathing, then yinafnefu bepanov berachas, and then he'll start breathing. They should fan him with a fan. Okay, enough nenfu, nafnaf, what we call a fan. And he'll start breathing. V'yomer Abaye, Amrli Aim, Hayinuka Delo, Ma'aze, or Ma'ave, I think it says here, Ma'ave, which means that he's not breathing easily. Kashalo Anishima, Laisu, we should bring him Silyosa De'ime. Wow, the placenta in which he was born, or shall we say the afterbirth, if you want to call it that, and velisharke iloye, and you smooth it over his skin, and he'll start breathing. So slide the placenta over his skin, and that'll cause him to breathe properly. This infant who's never emaciated is laisu lesilta deime. Again, once again, they bring the afterbirth, right? The placenta of the mother in which he was born, velishrike iloye, and once again they should slide it over his flesh. Mikutna liulma, mitzidah tsar, from the narrow end, lichivun, towards the direction of tzadarachav, of the wider end, and sheyele chatinok hazev yarchiv, and the child will now grow from one end to the other, so to speak. So the afterbirth is narrow at one end, wide at the other end. Abai's nurse advises that one should slide the afterbirth over the emaciated infant's flesh, beginning with the narrow end, gradually tilting towards the wide end. And it's as if to make a declaration, Rashi says, this child should be broadened and grow and from this side to that side. I guess this is more like a secret kind of therapy. The others, I think, are more medical. V'yomer Abaye, Amar li Eim Hayinuka Desumak. Right, he's got a red complexion. Maybe his whole body is red. Is the reason for it is Dakati lo Ibala Be Doma. Apparently, his blood is still not absorbed into his flesh. In other words, the blood is somehow located between the skin and the flesh. Now, if he'd be circumcised at this point, he would bleed to death. is lisrchu le ad deibala beidama. You certainly have to delay his mila until the blood is absorbed in his flesh, and then, and only then, to circumcise him. The yorok, because this baby is suffering from yellowness, which means that his situation is such that he's got a blood deficiency, and he's going to be very, very weak. As we said before, his blood is not sufficient. He's not going to survive this. He doesn't have enough dam. Ein bo koach, and therefore he's going to get very weak and he might die. Okay, then. Lisrachu adinofal bei damye. They're going to wait until, as we said before, the dam is going to be sufficient. He's fully blooded, so to speak. And then, velime haluye, they'll circumcise him. He might be yellow, he might be jaundiced. Desanya omer abnosan pam achas alachti lecharche ayom. On one trip I visited the sea towns. Ubas isha achas lefonai. Shemola b'no rishon v'mes, usheni v'mes. She had lost her first two children after circumcision. And now she brings the third baby, shlishi avioso lefonai. And she wants to know what to do over here with the third baby. Ra'isi says, Rabbi Nosson, I saw Shu Adam, I saw that he has this hue, this red complexion. Amarti lo, hamtini lo achi bola bodomo. Wait until the blood will be absorbed. Meaning the blood will be absorbed in his flesh. Right now the red color is indicative of the fact that his blood is somewhere near the skin and not absorbed in his flesh. And then umola osovachai, and then you can circumcise him and he will survive. Vayukorno so nosan abavli al shmi. And they gave the baby the name Nosan the Bavli. They named it after Nosan. Okay. Shuv pam achas halachi l'mdinas Kapotkia. Okay, that's somewhere in Asia Minor. Anyway, ubas isha achas lefanai shemol b'no rishon v'meis sheni v'meis shlishi avias lefanai v'fanai shuro. I saw he was yorok. Right before, he said I saw that he was reddish. Now he's saying I saw that he was yellowish. And he tzatzti bo. I took a look at him. Valora isi bo dam bris. I didn't see any blood in that member of his body. No blood would flow which would be caused by circumcision. In other words, you cannot circumcise him for two reasons. First, it's ein bo dam. He doesn't have dam in the organ. And lo yuchal lahatif mimenu dam bris. My lo risi dam bris means I won't be able to remove any dam bris. And number two, this is a very dangerous situation. He doesn't have blood. Amarti lo hamtini lo achiyipol bo domo. Now let's wait until the blood will be fully blooded, and then molo. So then you could circumcise the chayinol. Survive a kon shmo nosan abavli al shmi, and they called him nosan abavli. Okay. Now here we turn to Daf Kuf Lamed Dalet Amid Beis, and we begin the Mishnah. The Mishnah is a continuation of the laws of Milan Shabbos, and it opens with a discussion about washing the child before Mila and after the Mila. Machitzim Esakoto, we're going to heat up water, Mayim Chamim, in order to wash the baby, Ben Lifnei Mila, whether it's before the milah to strengthen the baby and prepare him for milah, ubein liachar milah, or as a therapeutic process following the circumcision, a mezalfin, zilaf means to drip, all of mayim chamim, we will drip, allow hot water to dribble on his body, biyad avalo bekli. Now this is strange because we just finished saying that rochtzinas atinok, which sounds like you're allowed to do it anyway, you have to do it, and now the Mishnah says no, you can only do it through zilaf by dripping, you know, dropping small drops. So that's going to be the Gemara's kasha. That why does it say avalo bekli and you have to do it with a shino? Rav Elazar ben Azariah omer marchitzinas akotin biyom hashlishi shechalios b'shavus. If the third day after his mila coincides with Shabbos, then we wash the baby because he's still in a state of sakon of danger. Shenemar in the parsha of Shechem, when Bnei Yaakov destroyed the city of Shechem, it says Vayehi b'yom hashlishi v'yosom ko'avim, that they came, Shimon and Levi came around when the people of Shechem were in the third day after the Mila, biyosom kovim. Kovim means not only were in a state of pain, but also they were in a state of danger. They were very, very weak. Now the Mishnah addresses the question of Mila b'Shabbos in various sfeikos. Let's say sofek, in other words, we're not sure if the baby was born after 9 months or maybe after 8 months of pregnancy. And if the baby is born a month premature, it's very, very dangerous for the baby to undergo mila. And we're not going to circumcise the baby on Shabbos. Again, if the baby was actually after 9 months of pregnancy, then we would override the Shabbos. But here, we have a suffix, and we're thinking that maybe only... this is a premature baby that only 8 months of pregnancy have passed before his birth. Here's another case of a suffix that we have to postpone the meal until after Shabbos. Androgynos. Okay, here's a baby that's born with both simonim of Zachrus and Nakvus. Ein mechalmas haShabbos. According to Tanakama, we are not sure what is the gender of the child, because the child exhibits even simonim Nakvus. But Rav Yehuda matib androgynos. Rav Yehuda is of the opinion, and he's going to derive this from a pasuk, as we'll see, that we can mechal Shabbos for an androgynous mila simply because he has simoni zachrus. Now the Gemara raises the apparent contradiction in the Mishnah about whether or not you can wash the baby with hot water kidarko, meaning the normal way, or do you have to do it zilaf in a shinui? So the Gemara asks for Amrit Reisha. In the Reisha of the Mishnah, it says Marchitzin, which implies that you could just wash the baby, bathe the baby, the Kidarko. You don't require Ziluf, and yet the Sefer of the Mishnah says Mizalfin. And it's got to be Biyad and Apakli with a Shinu. So Rabbi Yehuda V'Rav Baruvoy, the Amrit Shavayu, Ketzad Tani. We have to add the word Ketzad to the Mishnah. In other words, when the Mishnah opens up by saying Marchitzim, add the word Ketzad, and the Mishnah is now going to clarify how and in what way are you permitted to wash the baby. And the answer is, Marchitzim is a katan, with hot water you can wash the baby in Lefnei Mila Ben Liacha Mila, but Ketzad is only Mizalfin Olav Biyad Avalo Bekli. Which means that the final conclusion in the presentation here of this Mishnah is that you have to do this bathing process with a shinui. That's the shita of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Baravua. But Omar Rav of Amar Chitzin Ketani, Rav insists on reading the Reisha, and it says in the Reisha that you do Rechitza. You don't. Rechitza is not Ziluf. So you can't tell me that Ziluf is the explanation of Rechitza. Ela Amar Rava, therefore Rava says, I have an alternative way of reading this Mishnah. V'hachi ketani, marchitzim es ha-katan. Bein lifnei mila, bein li achara mila. If it's biyom arishon, if it's the first day after the mila, is kedarko. Ubiyom ashlishi, if it's the third day after his mila, and the third day of the mila, or the first day of the mila, after the mila, is chal b'shabbos. And then mezalfin olav biyad avalo b'kli. So that according to Rava, under what circumstances are you allowed to do a rechitza kedarko? That's only bet lifnei amila li'acha amila. And also biyom arishon, even the first day after the mila. But when we get to the third day, that's when we need zilif. That's when we need a shinui, and you have to drop the waters and dribble them in, but not to put them into a bathtub. Rabbi Loz ben Azariah Omer, Marchitzen Asakoton, even biyom ashlishi shechalios b'shabbos. Here also the baby is b'sakana, not the way the Tanakama understood it. Shenemar vahi biyom ashlishi yosim koavim, deriving it from the pasuk. So just to summarize, from the perspective of Rava, what the Mishnah is telling us is we can bathe the infant in hot water before the circumcision, after the circumcision, and also on the first day, and all this in the normal fashion. But when we get to the third day, the Tanakhama holds, that's not a real sakana, and therefore we have to do it b'shinui mezalfin al biyad. He can sprinkle hot water by hand, but not with the utensil. Whereas Rabbi Loz ben Azariah holds that on the third day after his mila, the child is in grave danger, and therefore we will bathe the child in the normal manner. Tanya Kavose de Rava. We have a braisa that seems to support Rava. Marchitzim hakotan bein lifnei mila bein li achar mila biyom arishon kedarko biyom ashlishi chalios b'sham zalfen ol biyad. That's the Tanakhama, that when you get to the third day after the mila, you have to do with the shinui by dropping droplets of hot water with your hand. Rabbi Loz ben Azariah disagrees. He omer ma'achitzen asakotin biyom ashlishi shchalios b'shabbos afal pi shein raya l'dover zeichel l'dover. I can't prove to you that on the third day it's a sakana, but I do have an allusion in the Torah. Shemar vayehi biyom ashlishi biyosam koavim. And then he says, in this brisa, k'shem zalfin, em zalfin lo b'kosvel v'karvel lo b'kli el biyad. Now this last piece doesn't seem to fit in the perspective of Rabbi Loz ben Azariah, because he was saying that even b'yom ha'shlishi you can be rochets kedarko because of the danger of yom ha'shlishi. So why are you telling me that I have to do it biyad and not b'kli? And the answer is, the Gemara clarifies, ha'son l'tanakama. This last qualification that you have to use your hands and not a kli, that goes back to the Tanakhama, who held that Yom HaShlishi is not a danger to the baby, and therefore we have to allow it only b'ziluf, but not b'kli. The Gemara asks, "My, what does it mean? Afal pishein raya l'dover l'zeich l'dover." Apparently, this situation described by the Torah in terms of Anshei Shechem is not a complete proof. It seems to be a complete proof. And the Gemara answers, Mishum, this Pasuk is referring to the older people that had Mila. We're talking about a child who's 8 days old. So it could be Gadol, Lo Solik, Bisra, and Haya. Now the Basar is not Mala, Rucha, B'meheris. In other words, therefore, the older person, even after 3 days from the mila, is still in a matzav of sakana. Whereas in the case of a katan, solik le bisra chaya, and that means that the flesh heals quickly in the case of a katan, as opposed to an older person, an adult, the flesh doesn't heal so quickly. And therefore the adult males of Shechem experience pain even on the third day after the mila, it's slow to heal in the case of an older person, and therefore it's dangerous. But in the case of an infant, the infant heals quickly, and the third day is not sufficient of a danger to warrant the leniency of a normal washing or bathing. And therefore, there's no clear-cut proof that we can be roches kedarko for a baby on the third day after the baby's circumcision from the case of Anshe Shechem. This is so typical of what we're going through today, where older people have to be more careful than younger people. Although, every rule has its exception, and even young people have to be very careful. There was a story of someone who circumcised his son on Shabbos, and he came in front of Rava to ask him whether or not he's allowed to bathe the child. The Orile Kishmate, and Rava ruled in a way that reflects his own Shita, that on the first day after the meal, everybody holds it's quite clear that you're allowed to be Rochets Kedarko Ichlash Rava. Rava, after this story, became very weak, and he began to suspect that maybe this was a punishment for his permissive leniency in ruling that they could bathe the child. V'yomar, and he said to himself, Ano bahadi targemna disabi disave lamali. Why did I have to disagree with the interpretation of those elders who came before me, who were of the opinion that you're not allowed to bathe the child even on the first day? Amrulei Rabbana l'Rava, and the rabbis said to Rav when they heard this, why are you regretting what you paskin? Tanya kavosli demar. After all, we have a brisa that supports you, that says b'yom harishon, even the Tanakhama says you're allowed to wash the baby in hot water. Amrulehu, so Rava says, masnisin kavasayu daika. The Lashon of Mishnah seems to indicate, like those who disagree with me, my colleagues that dissent, that the Tanakhama of the Mishnah says that even on the first day after the Milah, we need Zilif. So the Gemara says, Mimai, where did Rava see this in our Mishnah? Midaka Omar, the Gemara wants to clarify Rava's thinking here. It says in the Mishnah of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Omer Machitz en Esakotan, Bayom Ashlishi Shechalios B'Shabbos, that Rabbi Elazar came up with a heter that you're allowed to wash the baby in the normal way and bathe the baby on the third day after the meal, even though it's Shabbos. Iyam Epishleima, if you were to argue that Tanakama is on the first day after the meal of Mizalfin, he requires Ziluf, and then on the third day after the meal, it could be that Tanakhama would say the child is not in danger, and even Zilif would be prohibited. And then we understand, Hainu Dekomalei Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, now we understand the retort of Rabbi Elazar against the Chachamim. They say, no, not the way you say it. Marchitzin, we're allowed to wash the baby even on the third day. But Eliyama, if we're going to interpret the Mishnah the way I wanted to interpret that Tanakhama, when the Tanakhama explicitly permits washing the baby kedarko, he was referring to the first day after the Mila, umizalfin, and only biyom ashlishi, on the third day after the Mila, then the Tanakhama requires Ziluf. So then, when we get to that part of the Mishnah of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, marchitzin af marchitzin miboyle, he should have said that even on the third day, Marchitzim. The fact that he said Marchitzim seems to imply that the Chachamim, the Tanakhama, would say Ein Marchitzim, or Asur, that Marchitzim is Asur. So that if we would have assumed that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is arguing on the Tanakhama only with regard to the third day, but with regard to the first 2 days he agrees with the Tanakhama, then we understand his language when he says Marchitzim, right? He doesn't say aval af marchitzim, excuse me. He doesn't say even marchitzim, but he says marchitzim. And marchitzim is biyom hashlishi, it says explicitly. So he's not coming to say, well, you know, let's extend the heter of rechitza to yom hashlishi. He's saying no, that that b'shnei yom rishonim, I agree with you, the Tanakhama, that I'm sorry, let me say it this way. With regard to the first 2 days, the Tanakhama himself would say marchitza. And the Tanakhama would argue b'yom hashlishi, that's already too far removed from the Mila, and comes along Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria, and he says, marchitzim b'yom hashlishi. So that now, we have, well, the logic of Rav is that if you're going to tell me that according to Tanakhama, we're really allowed to bathe the infant on the first 2 days, and the machlokas now is only about the third day, then mizalfin bayom hashlishi, right, when we get to Rav Elazar ben Azaria and he says mizalfin bayom hashlishi, which sounds like you're only allowed to be mizalef bayom hashlishi, or shall we say you're only required to be on the third day to be mizalef and not to allow bathing. So if you're going to say again that Tanakhama would allow bathing on the first and second day, when the Tanakhama gets to the third day, he requires Ziluf. And therefore my Pesach would have been correct when I told this father that he's allowed to be Rochets on the first day. Is then, Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria, when it says in the Mishnah, Marchitzim, he should have said, Af Marchitzim. In other words, just like you rabbis, right, the Tanakhama, you agree that on the first 2 days, rechitza is the way to go, and it's perfectly permissible, then I'm adding the third day into the list. He should have said, af marchitza. And since it says, Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria omer marchitza, he didn't say af marchitza, then the implication is that there's a much more, shall we say, far-reaching machlokas here. And Rabbi Elazar is not just extending, you know, the heter of the first 2 days, which is marchitzim unanimous, everybody agrees, but rather he's coming to disagree in utter fundamental disagreement, and he's telling them, you say mezalfin, I say marchitzim. So what's missing here, says Rava, is the word af. It should have said af marchitze if he was simply adding the third day. So apparently the Tanakhama rejects marchitzim even on the first day and the second day. Now the Gemara tells us regarding this machlokshin, the Tanakhama Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria Kielsa Rav Dimi, when Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, Omar Rabbi Elazar, he tells us in the name of Rabbi Elazar, Halacha ki Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria, that we paskin like Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria, which means that you're allowed to do normal bathing in hot water for the baby during the first 3 days after the mila. Havule b'marava, marava, they were wondering about this Eretz Yisrael deka psak, har chotzas kol gufo, what does it mean? How far is Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria going to go, and therefore our ruling kol gufo o har chotzas mila? Are we sanctioning the bathing of the entire body of the infant, or only the baby, only the bathing of the circumcision wound? So the Gemara answers, Omer lehu ahu mir abban Rav Yaakov shmei mistabra harchotzas kol gufo, that what's being permitted here is the bathing of the entire body of the baby. And again, he's not making this comment based on, you know, based on the the science of medicine, but rather the Isakadakhar Chatzas Mila. If you can tell me that what Rav Elazar ben Azariah was allowing here was just bathing the circumcision wound, is Migar Mechamed Al Gabi Maka. The Omar Rav Ein Monim Chama Veshemim Al Gabi Maka Veshabbos. So we apply hot water to ignore any wound on Shabbos. It's permissible because Rav said that we don't prevent, meaning we don't prohibit hot water and oil from being applied to an ordinary wound on the Shabbos. And apparently Rav is addressing the question whether this constitutes an act of healing, which is forbidden on Shabbos. But whatever it is, we see clearly that you're allowed to bathe the limb with a wound on it with hot water on Shabbos. We're going to see that Shmuel disagrees, but even Shmuel who disagrees, and that's in the case of a direct application of hot water and oil, he would allow hot water alone. So the problem is when you add the oil element. So therefore, in the context of the original question that we had about Kol Gufo, we see clearly, based on this statement of Rav, that we're not talking about our Chatzas HaMila, just the circumcision wound, because, you know, then you don't have to talk about circumcision. That's Mutter in general, for any kind of a wound, as we saw in Rav. And Ein Mon and Chamin, we're allowed to use hot water upon a wound. The Chiddush here in Mila is that we're allowed to bathe the entire body of the infant. Maskif la Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef raised the following objection. V'lo shani loch bein chamin shehuchmu v'shabbos l'chamin shehuchmu b'erev Shabbos. I don't get it, Rav Yaakov. You seem to be oblivious to the fundamental distinction that we make in halacha, and that's a sugya back on Lamed Tes, that we distinguish between hot water that was heated on Shabbos and hot water that was heated on Erev Shabbos. Now, our Mishnah here, in Perek Rav Elazar de Mila, is talking about a case of hot water that was heated on Shabbos. And here we have to be more machmir. And we might even be machmir on one single limb. So when we get to the third day after the Mila, and according to the Chachamim, the Tanakhama against Rav Elazar, we prohibit it even with sprinkling. And even if, let's say, you sprinkle it on the wound itself, that also should be also because he heated the water on Shabbos. When Rav Elazar allows even normal bathing of the wound, he's talking about a case where there is some sort of danger, but we can't prove anything about bathing the entire body according to Rav Elazar ben Azariah, because I'm not sure if danger requires that we have to bathe the entire body. Is maskif la Rav Dimi? So Rav Dimi asks the following question. How do we know the Mishnah is talking about a case where he heats up the water on Shabbos? Dilma, why not argue the other way? Maybe they're arguing about a case where they heated the water ready before Shabbos. And what is the machlokas about is whether or not you can wash the entire body and bathe the entire body in water that was heated on Shabbos itself. And Rava taught that bathing only the wound is certainly permissible. Rav Elazar went a step further and he allowed bathing the entire body, even on the third day. But maybe, you know, in the case of water that was heated on Shabbos itself, right, we're talking about water shehuchmu b'erev Shabbos, then there would be no machlokas whatsoever. And even Rav Elazar ben Azariah would prohibit the use of hot water on Shabbos if the water was heated on Shabbos itself. So now Abaye gives an answer to this question, and he says, I want to answer the objection of Rav Dimi, as Rav Yosef himself is going to do. The Kadam Ishani Le Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef anticipated, he came before me, he answered the question, as a Mishnah would certainly allow hot water that was heated on Shabbos because it's a sakana situation. And even though we're talking about the third day after the Mila, But nevertheless, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, all 3 days are considered sakana. According to the Rabbanon, the Tanakam, it's only the first 2 days. Is it marnami? And now the Gemara quotes, oh, so again, if we're talking about a case where there's actual danger, then water, even if it was heated on Shabbos, is permissible. We'll heat up the water on Shabbos because it's an actual pikuach nefesh sakana. So the machlokas in the Mishnah is about the 3rd day, whether that's considered a sakana. And itmar nami ki asa Ravin, when Ravin came from Israel to Bavel, Omar, he said in the name of Rabbi Abba, Rabbi Avo, Omar, Rabbi Lazar, back to Rabbi Lazar, Amri le'od say Omar Rabbi Avo, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, he said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Lochak Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah. And when are we allowed to bathe the child? Bein chamin shehuchmu v'shabbos, bein chamin shehuchmu me'erev shabbos, bein harchotzes kol gufo, bein harchotzes hamila, mibnei shesakana hi lo. So therefore, when you raise the question, Rav Dimi, about Rav Elazar ben Azariah, whether or not he would be mater kol gufo, the answer is, we're talking about a sakana situation, and in a sakana situation, we could be mater bathing the entire body with hot water. So Ravin is adding to Rav Yosef's opinion because he holds that bathing the entire body is necessary to avoid sakana. Now, the Rishonim have a long discussion here about the reason you allow bathing before the circumcision. At this point, it's not a sakana. And they also address different issues about circumstances in which it would be permissible to actually heat the water for the purpose of circumcision. And now we're up to Gufa. Omar Rav, Rav says, Ein monim chamin v'shemim al gabi maka b'shabbos. We don't prohibit hot water and oil from being applied on an ordinary wound on Shabbos. Shmuel, Omar Shmuel disagrees. And he says, No sein chutz lamaka. He should place the hot water and the oil outside of the wound, because again, we're worried about the Issur Refu on Shabbos. V'shoseis v'yored lamaka. And now, the liquids here, the hot water and the oil, will drip down to the wound. But you shouldn't put it directly on the wound. And apparently the machlokas between Rav and Shmuel is whether direct placement or application of the oil and the hot water on a wound, is that considered refuah? In other words, it's included in the gzerah of Shemayi, you know, of Shkikas Samamona, that we're afraid he might come to grind herbs for medicinal purposes. So Rav says that this case is not included in the gzerah of refuah, and Shmuel disagrees. Shmuel therefore recommends that the oil and the hot water flow down to the wound, and then it doesn't look like he's doing it for medicinal purposes, and that's why it's permissible. And Rav holds that this is not included under medicinal procedures, and therefore there's no need to do it the way Shmuel demands that you do it, of having this hot water and oil placed outside the wound in a way that it'll be shosis and flow gently down towards the wound. So up to Mesve. Gemara Sakasha now. And Sakasha on Rav. Ein nosin shemen v'chamin al gabi moch. Right? You're not allowed to put oil and hot water onto a soft cloth. Litein al gabi maka b'shabbos. And then put it and apply it to a wound on the Shabbos. And that's explicitly against Rav, who allows hot water on a wound on Shabbos. And the Gemara answers, Hashem mishum schita. There, he's not pouring hot water directly onto the wound. That would be okay. But here, he's soaking the hot water in the cloth, and he's going to squeeze the water out of the cloth, and that comes under the malach of schita. So although this brisa is not a riot to Shmuel. This is a harchaka against. Shmuel is talking about harchaka because of shchikas samamonim, which means grinding, but that's not the subject of this price. This is harchaka mishum shchita. Toshma, the Gemara again objects to Rav because we have a price that says, Einosnin chamin v'shemen al gabi moch. We are not allowed to put hot water and oil onto a soft cloth. Al gabi amaka, even though the cloth is already resting on the wound. And in such a case, since the cloth is already on the wound, the assumption is we don't need a gzera otuschita, but rather this is a problem of toche, meaning of refuah, like Shmuel. So my answer is hosam namishum schita. Even if the soft cloth was put first on the wound and then he adds the water, there still is a chashash that he might come to schita. And then we're going to have Tanya Kavose de Shmuel. But before we get to Tanya Kavose de Shmuel, just one second. I wanted to read one note here. He says, Asom Nami Mishum Schita. I guess he's also worried about schita even in this case. So the cloth is on the wound first, but never the Tana this Brisa is afraid that after he pours the water, he might onto the cloth, he might squeeze it onto the wound. Tanya Kavose de Shmuel. We have a Brisa that supports Shmuel. Ein nosin chamin v'shemen agabi maka v'shabes. We're not allowed to put the hot water and the oil on a wound on Shabbos. That's about as explicit as you can. Let me just reiterate Shmuel word for word. Tana Rabbanan, we have a brisa that teaches us Nosnin al gabi amaka moch yovesh usfog yovesh. So we can place upon a wound a dry cloth or a dry sponge. And although these don't heal, but perhaps they protect the wound from being scratched and so forth. Avalo gemi yovesh velo ksisin yoveshim. But not a dry reed and not a dry rag. Okay, so ksisin are thin strips of cloth. And these and dry reeds have a healing effect, which comes under the Issur of Refuah on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, Kasha ksisim aksisim. In other words, when you're talking about these rags, then you have a stira from the Reisha of the Braisa to the Seifa of the Braisa. It seems to assume in the Reisha that rags are okay, and then it says no, you're not allowed to put these rags on. Lo kasha ha bechadati v'ha batike. In other words, when the Brisa says that we have a refuah, that's talking about new rags. But when the Brisa says that there is no refuah and therefore it's mutter, that's old rags. So rags that were never worn before, that were placed on a wound, those are new rags. They have a healing effect, and that's why the Tanakama, that's why the Tana this price prohibits their use. In the case of old rags, they don't have that medicinal effect. Omar Abaye, Shmami No, Hani Ksisin Masu, that new cloth rags have a healing impact, and therefore that's why the Chachamim included it in the Iser of placing it on the wound on Shabbos, because it comes under the Iser Refuah. So we're now up to Safek the Androgynous, which is right here on the last line of Daf Kuf Lamed Daled Amud Bet.